Hi, I'm Matana DeWitt, joined by Dr. Luke Bray. Welcome to Discover Your Roots, a podcast that will give you the tools for understanding and applying the wisdom of the Bible in your own context. In season three, we're focusing on Christian advocacy. We're trying to understand how Christian theology shapes what or who we advocate for, why we advocate, and how we advocate. As sin causes our world to become increasingly more divided, our society has moved from worshiping God to worshiping self. Christians need to understand how to combat division with unity. How should Christians advocate for others? What do the teachings of the Bible have to say about advocacy? How should Christians advocate for the Jewish community amidst rising anti-Semitism? We're unpacking all of this in season three of Discover Your Roots.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Discover Your Roots. We are on episode 7 of season 3, where we are talking about Christian advocacy, what it looks like to walk in the way of Jesus and to advocate for people as he did. So today we're going to be talking about a little bit more of the practical side of this. Before now, we were talking a lot about what it means to be an advocate, what it looks like, how do we find that in scripture. Today we're really going to be talking about, okay, what does it actually look like? What do we do? And the place that we're starting is prayer. How is prayer advocacy? Does prayer work? I think for those of us who have followed Jesus for a while, I think we would all say yes. But there's a lot more to it than just I think prayer works. Mm-hmm. Prayer is the first place that we start when it comes to advocacy, and it is actual. It makes actual progress. It changes things. Prayer changes things, and so we want to explore how. We usually start off with about 3 questions so we can kind of anchor our time together. So here are the questions for today's episode. 1, why do we pray? 2, how do we pray? And 3, what do we pray? Those are pretty easy questions, but not as easy to answer. So we're grateful that we have Dr. Luke Bray with us, who's going to help us answer some of these questions. So let's get started. You ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's get started. Okay, so we're just going to start with the basics.
Okay.
Why do we pray in the first place?
Well, I think, first of all, the reason that we pray is because Jesus teaches us that we need to, right? We look at the life of Jesus, and Jesus himself prayed. And being the Son of God, having that intimate relationship with the Father, he felt compelled to go be by himself and pray, and then to pray in corporate settings. How much more so should we also be praying as followers of Jesus? So prayer is not really an option for us. It's central to how we walk with God. And so I think that's 1. 2, to pray is, in the most basic way, it's really what it means to be a human creature. In our humanness, we are given the capacity to actually communicate our thoughts to our Creator's mind, so that we can have a relationship with him. And when you stop and you pause and you think about it, that's kind of crazy. That's wild, that God gave us the ability to actually speak our thoughts to him, so that we might know and have a relationship with him. And so, you know, through that relationship, prayer opens us up to a world that's around us from the perspective of the divine. We gain a different kind of understanding of the world. Thomas Merton, he wrote this that I think is really, really helpful, thinking about prayer and the importance of prayer. He says, prayer does not blind us to the world, but it transforms our vision of the world and makes us see it, all men and all the history of mankind, in the light of God. To pray in spirit and in truth enables us to enter into contact with that infinite love, that inscrutable freedom, which is at work behind the complexities and the intricacies of human existence. This does not mean fabricating for ourselves pious rationalizations to explain everything that happens. It involves no surreptitious manipulation of the hard truths of life. But I love what he's saying there. He's saying that when we pray, it's almost like we're brought into a world now through the lens of the divine. We see people now differently than we did before we prayed, because now we can see them through the lens of God.
Mm. It's like we join up with the vision, with like God's vision,
yeah.
The way God sees. Yeah.
It's like syncing up.
Wow. That's powerful. So what I hear you saying is that prayer is an essential channel for our relationship to mm-hmm. God. What sort of relationship does prayer create?
Well, we pray to demonstrate our dependence upon God and entrust our lives to his care. This is to remind us that we are dependent creatures. We can't do it on our own. We actually need him. We need him for the basic things in life and also for salvation. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's explaining to them what it looks like to pray as a disciple. And he says in this verse, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," right? The most basic essentials that we have for life, we're asking God for those things. He's talking about bread. We're talking about daily dependence. Like every single day, we wake up in the morning, like we ought to stop and pause and recognize that the only reason our heart continued to beat through the night and our lungs continue to expand and fill with air and do that over and over and over again is because of the grace of God. He is the one that has provided for us rest so that we can wake and feel renewed, feel ready to walk into a new day. There's that absolute dependence upon God. Don Whitney, he writes this. He says, "When our awareness of the greatness of God and the gospel is dim, our prayer lives will be small." And that's true. There's some statements where you read and you're like, wow, that just resonates in my heart.
Yeah.
Let's hear that again. "When our awareness of the greatness of God and the gospel is dim, our prayer lives will be small." So when you feel like it's a struggle to pray, or when you feel like you don't have time to pray, or when you feel like you don't really know what to say when you're praying, it's probably because your view, your vision of God, your view of God is too small.
You know, Jackie Hill Perry says something about that where she says people who struggle to pray, it's a humility issue because they don't see God as being necessary and bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets at this too.
Yeah.
It's a similar train of thought. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So through prayer, we recognize that we are completely dependent upon him. But we also recognize that he is big and we are small. And then through prayer, we enter into this intimate relationship with the Father. This is a relational practice where we honor God, we ask for provision, we seek after his will. I mean, even Jesus, like I said a few minutes ago, even Jesus prayed repeatedly and submitted himself to the will of the Father. We see this in the episode where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's asking God, the Father, if there's any other way except for the cross. And he's submitting himself to the will of God. We read in Matthew 26 that when he prayed, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And if Jesus has to do that, how much more so should we be submitting ourselves to the Father and pursuing his will?
Wow. So prayer, in essence, involves putting your life into God's hands, submitting yourself to God's will, as you just said. It's really scary.
Yeah.
Not easy to do. And it does require a lot of trust. So where does that kind of trust even come from?
Well, it's not a natural human response or even a natural human posture. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to trust, however, and that prayer can help us get to that point. And we see this in a couple of different places in the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4 says, verse 6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your request to God." So when we feel anxious, when we feel worried, when we don't know what to do, it says, in every situation, present your request to God. Talk to him about it. Ask him. Prayer offers us a way to hand over our anxieties to God, trusting him with the things that worry us. That's what prayer does. The following verse, in verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So by turning to God in prayer, we experience his peace, which guards our hearts and our minds.
Mm.
And that's wonderful.
Mm. So when I think about, you mentioned making our requests known to God.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and even personally, I do not like being sold to. Or feeling like that I am in some kind of a weird transactional relationship where someone just wants something from me. It's like, okay, can you just get to the point? Like, let's get this over with, you know?
just be direct.
You get a marketing call. It's like, don't ask me about my family. Like, I know that you just want something from me. So I wonder, like, if we come to God asking him for things over and over and over again, and we just kind of like think of him as Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that has to, like, not make him feel very good. Like, and again, like, we know that God is so much bigger than us and can handle that, but obviously it's not a healthy relationship to have a transactional relationship in that way where you only come to someone if you want something from them. But yet God says to make our requests known to him. So how do we navigate that and keep our prayer life from being purely transactional?
Well, I think it's a lot of it has to do with the way that we pray, our manner of prayer. If our prayer life is transactional, we're not living in the way of Jesus, right? One of the things Paul says is that we ought to pray continuously. So that means we're not just praying about, you know, oh, Lord, I need a job, or, oh, Lord, I need a new apartment. Like, we're praying about everything that's happening in our life. We're praying continuously. We're living and breathing prayer so that God is involved with every decision that we're making, every choice that we're making. That's one of the unique, I think, contributions to the thing that most Christians do is we pray over our meals. Sadly, that's oftentimes the only time that Christians pray. But what's the point of that? Why do we pray over the meals? It's because it happens 2-3 times a day. So there's a moment where you stop and consider the Almighty. But it's also daily bread. You're thanking him for, like, you know, my Taco Bell gordita. Thank you, right? you're thanking him for the simple things, the small things, the things that seem insignificant in life.
Mm.
And so, like, that's important so that your prayer life doesn't just become a transactional relationship, because we don't want it to be like that.
Mm.
That's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a really helpful overview of why we pray. Now let's talk a little bit about how we pray.
Mm-hmm.
I think, that can be a little bit tricky. And it can also look different in different traditions, too. What would you say is the most important adjective that should describe our prayers?
Yeah, I think the most important adjectives that should describe our prayers are probably humble and sincere.
Mm.
Humble and sincere. We can't pray to be seen by other people. Our sole focus has to be upon God. So we see this, like, in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking about prayer, talking about hypocrites, but he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is teaching us that prayer is not about performance. I think a lot of times people get really scared and they worry about having to pray in front of other people, to the point where if you're in a small group, sometimes you say, does everybody feel comfortable praying? And it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because when someone says, oh yeah, I don't really feel comfortable praying, what they're saying is, my prayer, I want it to be good enough for you.
Mm.
So that the person who really matters in the prayer circle in the situation is not God, but it's all of us who their word will judge them based on the words that they use to pray. And that's sad because it's a misprioritization of who's the most important person in this whole situation.
Mm.
It's not me. It's not you. It's not even the person praying, it's God.
Yeah.
And God listens regardless of whether or not you use three-syllable words, right? Or these and thous, or however, you know, however you think prayer sounds best, he doesn't care about that stuff. He cares about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a performance. It's not a public display. It's about honest, humble connection with God, free from pretense.
Yeah.
Genuine prayer flows from the heart, and it's focused on God. It's not focused on impressing other people with our vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of how in the Bible there's this this verse about you think that you'll be heard for your much speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's this idea of, oh, well, God's going to be impressed because of how I'm talking to him. And Jesus is like, no, that's not how that works. Yeah.
It's one of my least favorite things to be at a conference or something. And someone, we always called it preach praying. It's like, I've got 3 points in a poem, but it's like a prayer. And like, please stop. Just stop. God doesn't need the sermon. Just pray. You know, he doesn't need the 3 points. He definitely doesn't need the poem. You know, don't preach, pray.
Yeah. So it makes sense that our prayers should not be designed to impress others. Sometimes I wonder whether my prayers are good enough for God. It's like one of those moments where you have on something on your heart that you really want to be able to express to God, but you just feel like you just don't have the words for it. You just don't know how to even adequately communicate to God the way that he deserves to be communicated to, or also the way that, you know, you can't put words even to what's in your heart. So what does Scripture say anything about that?
It does. I think, well, I want to pause and just think of an illustration first, because I think that question's really, really, really important. Sometimes you wonder whether your prayers are good enough for God. And I think maybe we all feel that way sometimes, whether I have the right words. And I think when we ask that question, it reveals, and I'm the same as you, it reveals how much we know about God, which is we don't know much when we ask that question. And because, not because we're not able to think about it well, but like, we don't understand his heart. Maybe that's better. We don't understand his heart. Mm. I know for me, like, I have 5 kids. So look, whether it's my daughter asking me to read her a story, or my, you know, 8-year-old son wanting to play football and asking me to go play catch with him, like, he doesn't have to come to me and say, Dad, I would really appreciate it if you would maybe take 30 minutes, if we could go outside together and we could throw the ball back and forth to one another, because that's going to really help me in my ability to play football better. I feel like it would strengthen our relationship. You know, I think at the end, it's going to be a very positive experience. Like, he doesn't have to do any of that. That'd be ridiculous.
So in conclusion,
here's my 3 points in a poem, right? Like, he doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and now I'm not saying I'm anywhere close to being like God, because sometimes I'm like, I don't have time for that, or I can't, or, you know. So like, my heart isn't always right, but he doesn't have to make a case for it and defend it. And the same is true for us. When it comes to prayer, it's not about the fancy words that you have. It's not about you figuring out the rationalization or the rationale of why this prayer actually is a good prayer, God, and you should listen to it, and maybe you should answer it. Like, he doesn't need any of that. What he wants is an intimate relationship and honest communication from his child. Mm. And when you say, Lord, I really need this job, or Lord, I'm struggling with this issue of frustration or anger or worry in my heart. That's all. He doesn't need fancy words from us. He needs love. He needs intimate humility and relationship. That's what he wants.
Wow. That's powerful. I say that's powerful a lot, and after you get sure, That's powerful. It is. And it's true.
So you asked that question, and I kind of went off script, and we're talking about like that, because question really just like hit me.
Yeah.
But I think that you asked the question as a follow-up, what does Scripture have to say about that? And I think it does say a lot about the way that we pray. And one thing that I just want to point out, because I think it's important. So God cares about you just being real because you're his child, and that's really meaningful for him. He wants to hear from you. But sometimes we don't know what to say. I've experienced, whether it's loss or frustration or just like I know that I need to say something to him. I know that I need to pray, but I have no idea what it actually needs to, the words need to be. Like, I just know my heart's heavy.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's when the Spirit comes to us and helps us. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8. He says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows that what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So even when you think, man, that didn't come out right, Lord, I know I want to say something really specific. You don't have to. Like, you can just groan, and the Spirit will intercede. He understands your heart. And so you can rest in him, knowing that not only does he hear you, but he is listening to you through the Spirit of Christ.
It reminds me of how we talked about in an earlier episode, I think it was episode 2, about how Jesus is our advocate and the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And what a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit advocating for us by taking what's in our hearts and making it come alive, making it real to the Father. Because when we don't know what to say, he is our voice. He takes what we're trying to offer to him, and he makes sense of it. So that's like, even that in and of itself, I think, is a picture of advocacy, like we were talking about in episode 2.
Yeah.
So, wow. So it's helpful to know that we can rely on the Spirit in that way. I also find it really comforting that scriptures give us several examples of things that we can pray about.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorites?
Yeah. I think one that comes to my mind is Psalm 86. We can pray honestly, asking for God's help in all kinds of situations. So even when we feel overwhelmed, like we were talking about what Paul is saying about not knowing what words you should use to pray, the Psalms are amazing because they're the prayer book of the saints, right? And like, doesn't matter what emotion you're feeling, whether you're angry and frustrated, or whether you're sad and despondent, whether you're hopeless, whether you're tempted, whether it doesn't matter. The emotions that we feel are found in the Psalms. And so Psalm 86, I think, is one in my mind as I contemplate prayer, especially in relationship to advocacy and like, and praying for those around us, being an advocate on their behalf. It's a really important one. So let's look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86 says in verse 1, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answered me." Now, I mean, there's all kinds of things in here that we can think about when it comes to advocacy. We're praying, we're asking, Lord, would you hear us? Hear us. And we're praying. Maybe we're not praying because we're poor and needy. We are, but we're praying on behalf of someone else. Lord, this person is poor in spirit, or they're literally poor and they don't know how to pay the bills. They're needy. But you're the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hill. You're the one who is able to provide, right? So there's all kinds of different elements that we can pray through and pray about in relationship to this psalm. So we pray honestly and tell God how we actually feel. God is able to help in all kinds of situations, even when we feel overwhelmed. He's there. So the psalmist's plea is teaching us that God invites us to be vulnerable before him. And this is a model of asking God for help when we're in need, honoring who he is. Because the psalmist says all kinds of things about the abounding, steadfast love of God, right? We want to honor and ensure that we are kind of putting ourselves in a humble posture, recognizing the wonder and glory of God, and then expressing our gratitude for who he is and what he's able to do.
Mm. Wow. What about the most famous example being the Lord's Prayer? Are there any principles of the Lord's Prayer that stand out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer provides a template for us about how we should go about praying. So we're honoring God's name, asking for provision, seeking forgiveness, aligning ourselves with His will. So we pray for God's kingdom. We've talked about this a little bit already, that His will and His rule would be done on earth. And this connects deeply with advocacy work, right? Because we're asking that the rule of Christ be experienced by the people around us, so that justice would be served, mercy would be experienced, peace would be present in the lives of everyone around us. So as we pray, we're not simply trying to get God to do something for us, but rather we're aligning our hearts with what He's already about. And this is what we've talked about over and over again. If we're walking in the way of Jesus, we are coming alongside the work of the Holy Spirit, and we are committing to, and we are longing for, the things He's already longing for, the things He's already working towards. That's the whole point. We're becoming like Him, and hopefully developing the same heart He has for the world. So prayer restores our vision, and it molds our hearts to be like His heart. Prayer helps us become partners in His work of redemption, of restoration, of justice, and of mercy.
So as we kind of near the end of our time together in this episode, I want to kind of highlight some of these points as they relate to advocacy. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of show us what does it look like to, and you've already kind of started to talk about this a bit, to really bring this practice of prayer into the context of Christian advocacy, even in our own context, as we, because each of us has our own context that we are called to, and to advocate for what's good and right and for the people that God cares about in that context. So what does it look like for us to not bring prayer into it, but like really make prayer the foundation of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think through prayer, we're interceding on behalf of other people, right? That's the whole idea of what it means to be an advocate. Mm-hmm. Remember in our, I don't know, it was the second episode, I think we talked about what it means to be an advocate. And it means Jesus, He's speaking on our behalf. So we're stepping into that ministry and doing that for those around us. We're interceding. We're speaking on the behalf of others to the Lord, and especially those who either, one, they don't know that they can speak for themselves to the Lord, or they don't know Him. And so we're speaking on their behalf. This practice aligns us with God's heart for the oppressed, and it pulls us into the mission of Jesus. It's like gravity. It just kind of pulls us right into the very center of what He's doing. Mm. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin," remember this, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Mm. So Jesus is there in the throne room, and He is advocating on our behalf. He's speaking on our behalf to the Father. So that to me is so very humbling. That, one, Jesus knows every single one of us. He knows the sins, the brokenness. He knows the problems that we're experiencing on a daily basis. And like, it's not like we're just kind of thrown out there and like, "Oh, what do you got today, Luke?" No. Like, Jesus is there standing with me. He's on my side, which is crazy. When you think about sometimes the relationship that we have with God, and if you feel like God is against you, you're trying to walk in the way of Jesus, but you're failing, you're making mistakes, you're sinning, and you're just like, "Man, God must be so frustrated with me. I just can't get anything right." That is not at all how Jesus looks at you. Mm. He looks at you as His sister or His brother, and He is coming alongside you, and He is speaking on behalf, and He's saying, "This one's mine. This one's mine." And the goodness that I have, it belongs to Him because He trusts me. That's a different kind of way of living.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. You mentioned the term intercessor, or intercession. I know that in some traditions, the term prayer warrior intercessor is a very big part of the tradition of prayer. And so I'm curious, you know, when it comes to prayer as actually changing things, like it's actually shaping the course of events in partnership with God, what does that look like? When it comes to Christian advocacy especially, how do we think about those terms, prayer warrior, intercessor?
Yeah, I think they're those terms are very important. Prayer warrior indicates that there's a battle, and that when we pray, we enter into that battle. Intercessor is one who is kind of a going between two parties, or one who is kind of speaking on behalf of one of the parties. So both of those things are true for us. I think when I think of the terms prayer warrior in particular, I think of the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly places, right? So our enemy is not the people around us, regardless of who they are or what they've done. Our enemy is someone far worse. And so when we enter into prayer, we are entering into a spiritual battlefield. And so our prayers matter. And I think one of the most astounding realities of the Christian faith is that when you pray, number one, the God who like spoke in the Milky Way just kind of blew up into existence, the God who named every galaxy that has trillions of stars all throughout the universe, every one of them has a name. He knows them intimately. He knows the ins and the outs. But not only that, every dandelion that's in your yard in the summer, he knows how many of those little cruddy things that fly all over your yard that make a mess. He knows how many of them belong in that flower. Like, he knows everything. And he knows how many hairs we have on our head. Every animal, every insect, he knows intimately their purpose, what they're doing, why they're doing it, how everything that they're doing is actually honoring him because they live to glorify him. That God, when you pray, he actually hears your words. And that alone should be like, all right, shut it down. Like, amazing. It ought to make us very, cautious about what we say when we pray. I mean, the king of the universe, basically, when Matana says, Father, it's like everything stops and he looks at you. Yes. Like, wow. Well, what do we say to that? But not only does he just stop and listen, he actually answers. And that's amazing. That God, the God who made everything. He's like, I like that idea. Let's do that. What? That's crazy. Humbling. Our God is amazing. So when we enter into this battlefield for those around us, thinking about advocacy, praying for justice and mercy, praying for God's will and his kingdom rule, we're praying, as we're in the way of Jesus, praying for the things that he wants. Because through prayer and through relationship with God, he is aligning our hearts to fit with his heart, so that as we ask for the things that are for his kingdom, he's answering those things and he's pulling us into that mission with him. It's an incredible, incredible reality.
Wow. So good. Well, thank you for this very refreshing and encouraging conversation. I would love to highlight a few takeaways, as we do at the end of these episodes. So, number one, we pray not only because we are commanded to, but also because it helps us think about and see the world around us the way that God does. It helps us to align our hearts with his heart so that we pray the things that he wants. Number two, our prayers should be humble and sincere, growing our dependence on God and not our reputation in the eyes of others. So kind of as you were talking about just now, we should not be concerned about what other people are going to think about our prayers, but there is this element of almost like an awe-inspiring fear of the Lord, of realizing, oh my goodness, the creator of the universe is listening to me. So being humble and sincere and careful in what we say, but not fearful about what we say,
right?
Because we don't want it to be about others. We don't want to, it's for God. It's not for others. We also know that we don't have to perform for God, for him to listen and for him to care. So number three, scripture teaches us to pray for all kinds of things so we can bring anything to God. Mm-hmm. And then number four, we should be active and intentional about praying because prayer does have an effect both on us and the people that we pray for. It's this kind of combination of we pray and align our hearts with God, and then we pray for the things that he wants, and we see those things happen. It's this beautiful partnership. So thank you for joining us once again for another episode of Discover Your Roots, and we will be back again for episode 8.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Discover Your Roots. For more resources, check out the links in the show notes and follow us on Instagram at Passages Israel. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.